Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. We give you the glory and we give you the honor and thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for your word and thank you that you guide us, you direct us. Holy Father, we ask for the anointing to speak and to teach the utterance, the correct utterance. And we thank you for all the glory. We give you all the glory, and by faith we receive according to your word. And we give you all the honor. In Christ Jesus we speak it. Amen. All right, I'm going to talk a lot. One of the things that I was asking of wisdom from the Lord is, how can I deliver this, my Lord? That don't ask questions because you spend too much time asking questions. They just look at you, they don't answer, and what they're gonna thinking on what they're gonna answer. So best if you don't. All right. So because I need to finish this study series today. So we're gonna be seeing what a true blessing is. This is more blessed. This is more blessed. But before going to the Bible, or better so with what I'm going to open up with, I'm going to explain something. So pay a lot of attention, because I need to depend from the Lord to say what I have to say. In Acts 20, verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak, and remember what the Lord is, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So help me on the screen, please. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, before continuing with other verses, let me explain something to you. How many of you, sincerely, honestly, wherever that you live in this area, have you heard this from churches? They'll say, oh yeah, well in churches, they keep the money. But specifically the pastors, not the church, but the pastors. They take your money. I don't know who's more ignorant, the people who say or the people who believe that. And I'm talking about Christians. Let me explain something to you. In John 7, do not judge according to appearance. In other words, what this is saying is, don't judge when you don't understand everything, but judge with righteous judgment. Notice how it says to judge. The word here, judge, means to discern or understand. Then with righteous judgment. The only righteous judgment that we have is the word of God. Amen. When it's talking about spiritual circumstances. And when it's about the natural, all that is when you know all the truth. For example, how many of you know about spaceships that you understand and tell me where we sit down and you explain everything? Do you understand? No. None of us here know that. So, example, a couple weeks ago, from what I know, all I know, Elon Musk sent a rocket over there in Texas and people saw it, etc. That's all I know. But I don't know more about that. I can't judge if that's right or wrong, because I don't fully understand it. Neither do you. So we cannot judge when we don't fully understand. But we can judge the spiritual with the word of God. Amen. And we won't stop, because that's part of persecution, of criticism. I'll explain another thing to you. We will judge with righteous judgment. And I'm not defending anyone here, pastors or churches, anything. I'm no one's defendant, just of the word of God, of the truth. But this whole situation that churches keep the money and the pastors, you know, it didn't start with the mega church. It didn't start with them. They started with the small churches. With the very small churches. Am I saying that all small churches to this day and the pastors keep all the money? No. Does it apply? No, because I don't know. Are you there in every single church? Do you know all the pastors? No. But how did this all start? I'll tell you how this all started. I'll tell you this because I lived it. When I was a kid, my mom would take me to the churches of the denomination of we participated in. So years ago, and many churches to this day don't have a financial system or a financial record. So people gave cash. Nowadays, I don't have all the data. I don't know if the majority, but many people no longer giving cash or giving in an electronic way is what I'm trying to say. And what happens with that electronic way? You have a way of keeping records. But you can't keep records of cash. So back then, and again, I'm not going to mention names or denominations because it would be unjust, because I don't know if this has changed. So my purpose is neither to speak ill of anyone, nor, as they say, I'm going to throw anyone under the bus. I'm not going to speak ill of anyone because, again, Bible prohibits us from just judging without understanding, to criticize, to point out things when you don't fully know. If you're going to judge something, the Bible says do it with righteous judgment, and the only reason is to bring clarity and correction. And I'm amazed with Christians when they're eating, sitting down in a meal, and they're speaking of a brother in Christ who's not there. They say, oh, well, we're judging righteously, but I don't see the brother or sister there. So how can you be speaking of a sister that's not there? And saying that you're judging with righteous judgment. You're just judging deliberately, and you're going to bring judgment to your life. That judgment will be brought back to you. But here, we're talking to bring clarity. I could mention names of denominations and churches, but it would be unjust because years ago, I left those denominations and I don't know the system that they have now. But this all started with small churches. For example, one time I was in California. I went to go preach in California. I went to the house of someone that I know, and Anthony was with me. And I stayed in that home. And in the afternoon, I had a meeting, and it was around noon. And I was in that living room, and the father of that family was talking with me in the living room. Because I'll say like this, the lady asked me about, oh, how's your animal business going? And then we started talking, oh, very good. Just asking me of the breeds of goats, sheep, the difference between meat goats and milk goats, etc. So then after that, the brother or the sister, brother in Christ or husband of the family said, and hey, don't you get mad? And he said that so-and-so, and according to what I've heard, because again, I don't even see him, I don't follow him, I don't listen to his books, but he mentioned the name of, according to the data, the biggest church here in the United States. Now, I don't watch him, I don't see him, I don't read his books, I don't follow him, I don't know, because he's not of my area. I don't have time to be listening to everyone. And it's not even healthy to be listening to all types of people because you don't know what to listen to and you get confused. So I said, look, all I know, because he also said, supposedly he read a report that you gain so much money. And I said, well, supposedly it's the biggest church in all the United States. And he said, yeah, but he keeps all the money. So I said, but how do you know? So he read me some things that they put on social media and some videos of people who are on YouTube. I said, all the contrary, those types of churches, it is impossible that the pastors stay with all that money. First of all, how do you pay the maintenance of such a big building? How do you pay the employee? And then there's something that this church, and we're not a mega church, but we have it. We have an accountant here, and then we have an external accountant who has who keeps records of our finances outside, and then we have our accountant here. It's very difficult for us to be paying in cash. People back then would get mad, but I'd say, I can't pay you in cash. We can't. We'll run into some issues. We have a very strict record. So now imagine those churches. It is impossible, and it explained. On the contrary, all that started with the small churches. Because in the small churches, again, now, at this moment that we're speaking, in this day, in this month, this date, I don't know all the information. I'm not going to blame all of them, nor am I going to point them out, but there still are. People giving cash. And then I'll explain another reason. The pastor or whoever's in charge grabs all that money, and then I'll pay this, we'll pay that, and then they'll keep the rest. Why? Because the traditional religious church says, and taught it for centuries, that the pastor should not work in other things. But it's impossible. If a pastor has 10, 15 people, how are you going to live off of those 10, 15 people? If you have 15,000 people, unless those 10 are millionaires and say, hey, pastor, we're going to pay you a salary because the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his salary in the New Testament. But if it can't be done, and I tell you this with righteous judgment because I lived it. I've known pastors like this, and I've had to, years ago, I had to give some advice to many. That's all I can tell you that I've known over the years. But one, I told him, how are you going to live off of 15? Okay, I said, this is what's going to happen with 15 people. Neither you can live well, neither will the church have anything to sustain its maintenance. Amen. It's impossible. Because there are pastors, like you throw water into a cat and they go out running. You tell them to work and they cast out the demon. Well, now, did I say that all? No. There are, and unfortunately, but for example, you'll hear people criticize one of my mentors in the faith, Brother Copeland. And how do you think he's going to keep all that money? And then how are they going to pay 300 and so employees that they have? Just think. And then the maintenance costs of that entire ministry. But who's dumber? The one who speaks, who talks in those dumb videos and bringing their own judgment, or the people that believe them, even between Christians themselves? The same Christians that promote this. Because they believe all that nonsense. It's much more likely to happen in the smaller churches than in the mega churches. And I'm not defending mega churches. I'm not defending neither the doctrine. I'll tell you the truth. Not all, but the majority of mega churches, there is no good word. It's just a light gospel. That's a truth. Did I say all? No, not all. But here's another truth. It's impossible that the pastor stays with all that money. I've gone to preach at mega churches, and I'm not going to defend neither the pastors nor the doctrine, but it's impossible. How are you going to pay? This sanctuary isn't exactly small, right? Where we have a reunion here. It's not big, but it's not small either. Well, I've been in sanctuaries twice this size, just to pay the light. Just see how much electricity we pay here. And I'm trying to imagine how much they pay, so do you understand? What is it called? It's ignorance, lack of understanding, and lack of wisdom. So we can't be judging like that. Am I defending mega churches? No. Again, not all mega churches give good word. Why? Which is why there's so many people that go. They give you a light word. They won't test you with the word, and the majority of them are just entertainment. I said the majority. I've been there. Actually, I know some pastors of mega churches. I'll starve of hunger for them. They're very nice as a Christian club, spiritually speaking. But I can't also say that all pastors stay with the money. It's impossible. Impossible. Practically impossible. You'll get into issues with the government, with the IRS. On the contrary, that started in the small church. Did I say all church, all small churches and all pastors of small churches stay with the money? Did I say that? No. I said it's how it started. True. Now, you understand? Well, talking about myself, as you know. I like to contribute in the work of the Lord. And I don't know if that's how the Lord made me. Just how I'll ask Kenneth, Bedland raised his kid. Kenneth, why are you so handsome? How old is Kenneth? He's 10? 10 years old. And ever since he was a little kid, I would ask him, why are you so handsome, Kenneth? But why? But until one day he said, it's because that's how God made me. But why didn't God make me as handsome as you? And he said, I don't know. So I'm not going to say that all the churches, neither am I going to say that all pastors do something wrong. No, I'm not saying that necessarily. I don't know. Now, here's another truth. But before going into that, I'll say this. The reason why I do it is because I've been very hyperactive. I've always been very hyperactive. I've always worked physically ever since I was a kid. My dad, although he was a doctor, he would rent agricultural lands and we would sow cucumbers and many other fruits. And I was there ever since I was a kid. And I like physical work. I detest office work. Sometimes I have to do it, but it's not for me. Remember when the Lord said in Revelations that you retain the doctrine of the Nicolaites, which I detest. Well, I say, well, the office work is what I detest personally. I don't like it. And I work outside. And I like to contribute and I like to be able to help other people. But to say that all? I'm not going to say all, but I'm going to say I'm just saying how it started. Stealing the money of the churches. And unfortunately, the idea of the Old Testament of the tithing was for the pastor, and it was very common, and it still is common in many denominations. The tithing, the 10%, pastors stay with it to this day. Am I saying all churches do it? No. I'm saying some denominations have that practice. And since the majority of people don't know how to give offering, tithing is the 10%, so the majority of Christians would give some very small offerings, and that's what the church would love off of, which is why so many churches do not thrive. Are you understanding? Now, I'm not their judge. I'm not going to give account to the Lord for them. But the New Testament says the laborer is worthy of his salary. But if you can't give a good salary to the pastor, one time, this pastor was starting off. He asked me and the leaders asked me, what do we do? And the pastor was there. I said, and they're starting. And I said, well, give him something for gas. Start with that. And then another pastor friend of mine who is in Texas. Very small church, but the people that go there are very blessed. And I'm going to tell you how much they pay him, but they pay him well. It's a very small church. But it's an agreement that there is. And apart from that, the pastor works. He has his own business as well. And he puts a lot of money into the church. And he returns from his own salary, as Nui and I do. Am I saying all pastors should do what I do? No, I never said that. Just as it's as the Lord guides them. But some advice for those small churches. It is to say, how am I going to live off of this small group? As I said, as a pastor, you can't do it. Now, I'm no one to tell you what to do and what not to do. But both of you are going to suffer. Neither you are going to have enough, nor the church. Now, I know there are questions. People have questions, etc. If you have questions, write them down. Then you can send them to me. Or write them to our email list. But all of this is very interesting. Now, in Acts 20, I was going to tell you something else. About that. Well, I think I already said it all. And actually here, I'm praying in how to enrich this. I first started with goats and sheep, and then I started with large cattle. The minor cattle or small cattle is pigs, goats, and sheep. And the large cattle or major cattle is what would be calves and steers and cows. So I have all this here with what the Lord gave me. And I have some verses here. And I've been confessing them. I will be working on a greater scale. Amen. Because I like it. Because that's how the Lord has guided me. And I've been able to be a blessing. Am I saying that all pastors from here at Douglas know what to do? As the Lord directs, I'm not saying them to do so. I'm not putting more work onto anyone else. But now notice what the Apostle Paul said here. This is Apostle Paul speaking, verse 35, Acts 20, 35, where I started. I have shown you in every way. I want you to tell you something. I can assure you someone is going to criticize me, especially churches, pastors of small churches. Oh, that man said that we steal all the money. I don't know why people don't listen to everything that we speak, but that's how it is. Acts 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, look what the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you search for this, the Gospels, you won't find it. If not, put it in a search bar and you won't find it. But nevertheless, Apostle Paul said this. Now, question it, could it be Apostle Paul lied to us? No. I said that I wasn't going to make questions, right? So used to doing them. Which is why when the Lord told me, have some patience with me. Sometimes get confused, not purposeful disobedience. If I make the questions, I'll answer them myself. Could it be Apostle Paul lied to us? The answer is no. No, because if not, when Paul wrote this, the disciples that were with the Lord would have tested him and said, no, Paul, he never said this. There is no scripture. But the Apostle Paul didn't lie to us either, because he wasn't. None of the other apostles that were with him didn't say, no, that's not true. The truth here is this. You have to understand, according to history, because I wasn't there, I wasn't born yet. Apostle Paul was born between the year 5 after Christ. So according to history and some historic data, because there's a lot, we don't know exactly which one it is. When the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, Paul was a couple years younger than him, perhaps 9, 10 younger in age. So when the Lord was preaching there in Israel, well, Paul was of the small group, of the younger group of those who would come to listen. So perhaps he listened to it as well. Or when Paul was taken to the third heaven, and after that he started preaching the gospel, the Lord would have told him this. But another instance that we have, that we can see with the Bible, is this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In Matthew 20. So I'm not assuring that it was one thing or the other, but we can see here. I said Matthew 20, correct? Okay. This is talking about serving. Verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now again, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. when you serve. Serve, to give. You're going to see the word minister. When you minister, you are giving. Give, you minister, you give your work. You minister your money, you give your money. Or your service of what the Lord gives us. Now, to redeem her time. Did you know that the United States is a very generous country towards others? But it is way too generous. Sometimes it gives money to certain countries that they just shouldn't. Or sometimes there's no accountability where the money is given to them and no one knows what happened to that money. And the countries continue poor, but there's not a single country in this world that helps other countries as much as the U.S. Not a single country. True. True. And I hear people say, oh, the United States is racist and gringos and this and that, but it's so interesting how the majority of the people of the world want to come to this country. They don't want to stay in other ones. They just use them to as a pathway to arrive here, but they don't want to stay there. Very interesting. The majority. Here, you can judge something with truth, not with lying, not with fallacies or ideas. So then here's this truth in the Bible. Giving produces receiving. One of the reasons why Paul said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know why? Because giving is how we receive. Giving is how you receive. So to save time, so I want you to see this in all complaining as we go. Because I have to finish this series. Why I want to save time. I'm going to read, or we're going to read here on the screen. As long as you have it in Spanish, but it doesn't exist. But unless you have it or in English, you know how to read it in English, along with me. I'm going to read it in Spanish. The Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classics amplifies the synonyms and the words itself from the Hebrew. So we're going to read verse 6 to verse 15. 6:15. And this is so you can understand. So it can be a blessing, but it's part of growing. And understanding in believers. Not just understanding salvation, praying in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is very important because this is why many Christians are so poor. God left a financial system. And there are various reasons. Or either they don't exercise sowing and reaping. And or when they exercise it and the money comes, they spend it like fools. And they're not wise, because you also need to have wisdom. Any of the two. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. Now I'm going to say, before reading, don't read your Bibles unless you have it in English. Remember this: he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone. Notice how the Apostle Paul here, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Another point to make that you should see here when you were reading. How interesting what the Bible doesn't say. Now go back in your Bibles to Acts 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Notice how he said, by laboring like this, that you must focus on your needs. This is the mentality of the kingdom, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's another part that the Lord is helping, and he's reminding me. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4, and Apostle Paul himself said it. Ephesians 4, 28. Let him who stole, who steal no longer. But rather let him labor. Ooh, let him work. Your mom, Pastor. Let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Notice how in both parts it didn't say to work so you can buy the car, the tires for your car. Now again, I'll be sharing some things on having things, and there's no issue with that. But let's clarify something. Let's clarify. Remember, the Bible says, when you read, understand what you're reading, not just read it. Let's clarify. According to the last report, in the financial report of the world, from what I read, Elon Musk is the richest man in the whole world, with $400 billion. According to the report, because I haven't gone and counted his money. According to the report. But did you know that if Elon Musk grabs all the money of the world and gives it to the poor, well, to start, we're already going to have another poor Elon Musk. He's not going to have anything. So giving it all, you'll be poor. And the poor, eventually, with time, will be poor as well. Be poor again. By your understanding. It's proven. Give something to give them. Give it to them. But if that people don't change their mentality with the word of God. Look, what has happened with certain projects of the government in certain cities here in the United States? What am I referring to? Projects? Apartment complexes, homes, apartment where people live, but they're of the government. And in certain cities, they're very tall buildings. They build up. Guess what? When those apartments are given, they're clean. Is that right? Beautiful, the parks around them and the gardens are very nice. Later, over time, everything's a disaster. Everything's broken. Broken windows, because the poor is poor by what he has inside, by his mentality. Does that mean that we shouldn't help the poor and not give it to them? No, that doesn't mean that. This is why you have to understand what the Bible says. Notice how in both parts, in Acts 20, verse 35, in all that has been taught, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. How the Bible says, and also in Ephesians 4:28, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Now, about Elon Musk, because he's a very well-known person around the world. And there are many lots of famous people, and they thrive in what the world says. But I noticed in someone, I'm going to mention three names. The last one is the best of all of them for me. The last one I'm going to mention, but these two. Or are there two names? You know who the most famous man in the world? Donald Trump. Wherever that you go, any country. Because if you ask a person here of other countries in Asia, Africa, of the name of a celebrity here in the United States, very probable that they don't know. Or of a politician. But if you say Donald Trump, the whole world knows him. He's famous. For bad or for good. Some people respect him, some people love him, others hate him. However, but he's famous. He's the most famous man in the whole planet Earth. Regardless of your opinion of him. Irrelevant. Making a point here. But you know who? And the richest man right now, according to the latest financial report, is Elon Musk. Around the whole world. But the name, the most famous name in the whole world, you know what it is? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone believe in him as God. Others believe that he's a prophet. Certain religions receive him only as a prophet, others as a good man. Even in certain secular groups and certain people, in intellectuals that write books, and some of them even are atheists. But Jesus, the teachings of Jesus as a good man. It is the most famous name in the whole world. One thing I said, one thing is as a man, one thing is the name. So I said the last one is the most important for me. But we believe that he is a God and he is Lord. We don't obligate anyone to believe that way. That's on them. They have all the right to be confused in their own opinion. But let me explain something in sharing to those who have need. Matthew 26. Verse 6. And Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. A woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" And this is what happened. If you see that people out there, you see that we fix up the church, or we're remodeling, what? That's too much money. That's a lot of waste. You know why? Because they don't value. But this, and this was their disciples. Notice how it wasn't other people. It was the disciples that were with the Lord for 3.5 years. They had heard his teachings. They had seen miracles. Another part says of Judas. But here it says, when his disciples, plural, more than one. Judas, perhaps? This is why Judas said something and the other dumb ones believed him. For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me." 11. For you will always have the poor with you. But me, you do not have always. Notice how he said, you will always have the poor. Can you see that? Always. Because the poor is not poor necessarily. Because they don't have things. Poverty, apart from Bible's cursing, it's a way of thinking. Always. What was the Lord sharing here? In Deuteronomy 15. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to explain every single thing that I share with the Bible. But it's things that we've studied in the past before in this church. Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. For the poor will never cease from the land. The poor will never cease. The poor or the one in need. From the Spanish. Call yourself needy. I need tires. Not saying it's not talking about people who, I need new tires on the car. I need a car. This is talking about people who don't even have the most potential. For the poor or the needy will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. And this is what the Lord was referring to, that you will always have poor people. Notice how we're not talking about, this is more than 2,000 years ago that the Lord spoke this. And to this day, the majority of the people in the world are poor. Now, of course, the world is going to tell you that climate change and this and that, the rich people that they oppress and that and the other, and always. And this is something that has never ceased, of always blaming someone else. It's easier to blame someone else. To blame someone else, it removes responsibility for yourself. Amen. And not just responsibility. There's no faith. It's easier to walk in your feeling and in your flesh than to truly walk by faith. Someone say amen. So, what is the primordial need of people? According to what Apostle Paul spoke in Ephesians and in Acts, that he said to help the people in need. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ told us, because Apostle Paul learned all of this from the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 of Luke. Did I say Luke or Matthew? Luke, right? I was in Matthew, but it's Luke. Chapter 4, verse 16. Man, it's so good to understand. 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. I said, I was in Matthew. Yeah, I said Matthew again? Okay. My bad. My error. Luke. Bad. Okay, I'll say it three times. That was my error. Hey, amen. Yeah, you made a mistake, Pastor. Luke 4. Verse 16. I did it on purpose to see if you were paying attention. I'm kidding. Luke 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So you see, it was his custom in the synagogue, was where they congregated, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord speaking of himself here. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. But notice in 18 one more time, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Did you know that the word gospel in itself means the good news? The word gospel means the good news. So what would be good news? Perhaps as you know, or you can imagine, some of you lived in the past. Whatever it is, whatever the image that you have is. But imagine a person that you go and they live in a supposedly a house made out of cardboard, out of dirt. And they don't even have a floor and electricity. And they suffer. They suffer in summertime, suffer in wintertime. They're dead carcasses. And you say, "Hey, poor person, I've come to tell you that the Lord loves you. And that you can receive salvation. And you don't have to go to hell." Very probable that if you have a few poor people there, say, "Oh, word of God. How nice." But what will bring them more joy? If you say, "Poor, I want to preach the gospel to you. And I want to tell you that Jesus loves you, but that also the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he told me to fix up this house for you. And I'm going to make a deal with the city to put electricity for you, and I'm going to buy you a stove. I'm going to buy you a refrigerator. And I'm going to buy you food. I'm going to have a bathroom for you with water." You know what's going to bring him more joy? The first or the second? The second. The second will cause him more joy. And then that's when you start speaking of the gospel, start saying, "Hey, glory to God, this and that." Notice how I didn't say, I'm gonna create a mansion for you because you're gonna throw away the money with that mansion. But you will help him with the most basic need. But then the primordial necessity that it's talking about here, next, and in Ephesians, the first one is spiritual before it's material. Which is why you grab someone who's poor, give them a lot of money and gifts, and like I said, it's proven here in this nation and in other nations. And look at certain big cities. What is there? Go over there, travel, and you'll see a difference. Why is it that in one city that I'm thinking of right now here in the United States, that's towards the northeast? Just a question of crossing a street, and you see the difference between the buildings of one side, the buildings of another side. The world will tell you, yeah, it's because in this side, where the building is uglier, live minorities. And the minorities are being oppressed. And by this side, white people live. And the issue is the white people. And they'll have you there with that nonsense. And with that system. And they'll have you oppressed, literally. With the idea that you're a minority. But there's a gospel. And there's power in this gospel. Glory to God. Amen. And you don't have to be all the time under their foot. And there's something that's called wisdom. Which is why it's very good to help people. Now, I can give you names for people here, but I don't have to giving you all that information. And to other people. Actually, some faith partners of the ministry who we've learned through them that for some reason or another, they've struggled. Or whatever it may be. But I'll tell you something. I am not God. As I said, if Elon Musk were to give money, apart from the fact that he would be poor over time, that money, it would supply only a basic needs for a certain amount of time. The first one is spiritual. The second necessity is material. But to be able to take the gospel to other areas, far from these four walls, that's the reason why God put a financial system. For example, there are people who are listening to me right now talking about how the world calls them. What the world calls them. Calls them third world countries. That's what the world calls those other countries. But if they were to hug this gospel, they hug this message of faith. Because some of them, I've seen them, no one has told me. It wasn't a movie that I saw. I know them. I saw them. They have left that vile poverty. But the gospel, and actually the word gospel, again, means good news. The good news of the kingdom. Now there are people, again, you will hear this. And when you hear it, neither be scared nor get mad. None of that. Just understand what they're saying. And don't be bothered. It doesn't bother me. For example, there are people who have told me, oh, I've heard you, Hughes. I know what category you're in, a person told me a while ago. Came here a couple of services, and then I found them over there in Douglas. And I just greeted him, and he said, hey, yeah, I know where you come from. Because he's there from the south of Los Angeles. And they talk, I know where you come from, man. Yeah. So what do you mean? He said, yeah, you have the prosperity gospel. Well, let's analyze those words. I like to analyze words. First of all, gospel means the good news of the kingdom. I forgot my... That's not here. Just to be sure, because sometimes I'll send people over there and I have them here. Look, it's right here. If you could bring me my phone, please. But you know what the word, for the definition of gospel means? At advance, at forward. So if you see the gospel of prosperity, well, yeah. What do you want? To go back? Want to go back in life, or do you want to advance in life? Actually, just talking about money, because the issue isn't money. The money is neutral. There are people who will kill you for money. They'll steal you. They'll rob from you, extort from you for money, betray you for money. That mean money is important? The issue isn't money. It's the heart of whom has it. I can grab money, and again, I don't follow those people. Neither do I admire them. But I sometimes learn because certain conservative news anchors also speak of them, of that issue. So there's this rapper who is very famous. I don't know. I don't listen to him. I don't know him. I don't live with him. But this man, thank you, brother. I appreciate it a lot. This man is being accused, and again, he has millions of dollars. A very famous celebrity. Now, who do you think who makes those artists? Who do you think makes those celebrities? Well, the people, the dumb people who listen to that horrendous music, and no one criticizes them. No one says anything. They even say, "Oh, that's so cool." No one criticizes them, and no one's gonna say anything. No one. Oh, that's so cool. The terrible words that they say. And people go to their concerts and download their music because you no longer buy the CD or anything like that. But that's fine. But when in a church, and I know it's true that I should also clarify this. Thank you, Lord. I've always liked in life, and I believe it's not just me because I'm very intelligent, it's something that God has placed in my heart. I like to be balanced, as you've noticed. My personal life, my life in the ministry, everything is balanced. It's true that there have been people, and still are, this moment, there still are. For example, there are people. Because any person can just grab your phone and continue, just suppose it prophets. Or apostles. And they use AI, and they say, "Oh, we have this work in Africa, where they show images of African kids, all decrepit, messed up, with flies around them." And it's not making fun of them; that's how they live. And people send money, and they don't even know who they are. So, in English, the word is it? Yeah, they thank you. They've been scammed. And when there's a pastor or a church that is speaking correctly, oh, they'll put them in the same category because they don't judge righteously, because they don't understand. What's the solution? To be quiet and not speak of these things? No, it's to speak the truth. There have been false prophecies of people. What are we going to do? Stop speaking about prophecies? No. There are people who use the name of the Holy Spirit in vain. Are we going to stop speaking of the Holy Spirit? No. It's to continue speaking truth with the word. That's the solution. The solution is always to speak with truth. Now, there are some people who use that title, that motto of prosperity gospel. Very few use it correctly. Some use it as sarcasm, make fun. But look, I have it here in my notes. Give me another opportunity because I'm not very good to use all this technology. The word prosperity, according to the dictionary of the Royal Spanish Academy, means well blessing, joy, progress. Does that sound like bad to you? To me, it sounds fun. Actually, indicates the word joy. An issue that we have nowadays, especially homes here in the United States, is the lack of money. Be it because the wife is foolish and spends incorrectly, not knowing how to use finances, or here's the worst, both of them don't know how to. But God isn't responsible, is what I'm referring to. God isn't responsible. But I can't guarantee you something. When you put God first, God will give you everything. Ooh, man, I'm running out of time. 2 Corinthians 9, where we were in the Amplified Classic. Second Corinthians 9:6. I don't remember where we were, but in the last church we were at, we were like, what? How much, Erika? Give me a report. It was some money, $200,000 that we gave in material. Oh, $2,000. $2,000 in a single church that we gave. You and I owed almost $2,000. And I didn't go, I didn't charge anything when I went to go preach. I just got up, they gave me an offering. And that was Friday. It was a Friday, Saturday. And then the offering was for me. I could have given the tithe. And I gave it all. Not saying to come and tell me, oh, how nice, Pastor. I already did it anyways. But I'm giving you an example of when you know that God is your source. Amen. Verse 7. Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, what God loves means, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful giver. Meaning that God, you are above all. But this is to the joyful giver. Who is a joyful giver? The joyful, the cheerful, joyful, prompt to do it, whose heart isn't giving. That's how Nivi and I started. We started from zero here in the nothing. We rented a house. On 13th Street and B Avenue. The home was still there. And now I live in another home that was given to me. Why did they give it to me? Why? Because I've sown in the kingdom and it's part of my harvest. I'm not saying to show off. But over time, what if you learn that I remodeled my home or I brought it down and then I built it up? Oh, why can he do it and not me? Have you figured out how much we've given here? And also have been good administrators of what we had? Every single one will give what they sow. Will get what they sow. Verse 8. Notice how in 7, you always have to see 7 with this. Let him give what he has made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. We've always taught you that. So when you hear a mouthy person saying, oh, they go and obligate you and steal your money, the love of God, tell that mouthy person, that's not true. That we teach you and what the benefits are. But don't fall in that trap. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. Notice what grace means. Amplified in the Greek. Every favor and earthly blessing. Earthly blessing. Why? Because God blessed us with all spiritual blessing. And how nice, glory to God. But what is it referring to, all spiritual blessing? Apart from healing and salvation of all, that we all need our body. But we also need material things to live. Did you know that in... Well, of course you know, because we studied. Revelation said that roads are of gold. That there are precious stones. So God isn't poor, but God won't let diamonds just fall from heaven. Nor is he going to grab... Or is he going to grab a pickaxe, break that gold road and send it down to you? It's all here on earth now. The earth is a copy, a natural, of heaven. The difference is that it's a fallen fallen earth, but when God created the earth and placed Adam here, the earth was a copy of heaven, but in the natural. Do you understand? If you came on Thursday and listened, you hear that there is a duality of existence. Just that there's something spiritual, there's something natural. So much for good as for bad. So much from God as from the devil. Are we good? So God knows that we have need. I don't know about you, but I sometimes need to put diesel in my trucks or gasoline into my other cars. And I sometimes need to buy food. I need to pay my insurance. All right, what about you? Yeah, the majority. Unless you, I don't know. Say no, I don't have anything. Unless you live over there in the mountains. And you're a caveman or something. I don't know. But normally, we pay insurance, we pay gas, we have to go buy food. It's normal. You pay something. So we live in an economical society. So leave the verse there, please. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance to every good work and charitable donation. Now, don't misinterpret what you're reading. Leave the verse there. Where it says, to be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. Is that saying that you can't receive help? No. This is referring to the perfect will of God, the highest. But there are steps, meaning that perhaps you're in the step where you need help. Amen. The issue is, don't stay there. Keep going forward. That then you can have possession of helping someone else. What happens with government systems here? Just look at it here in Douglas. There are people who their whole life will live in government housing. Am I criticizing them? No. Am I condemning them? No. It's not my issue. I'm just saying it's not the best because they have that mentality. Especially if you were born here. Oh, I'm a U.S. citizen and the government has to help me. And they have to help me. The government has to help me. That's all you're going to do. You're just going to help you and keep you poor. One more time, pay attention. Remember how I said that I like to be balanced. If some of you that are listening here have some type of government help, don't go tomorrow, Monday, to cancel it because of what I'm saying. And then say, oh, well, I stay without this because of my pastor. Am I saying to do that? No. What I'm saying is don't believe, don't create. How do you say that word? Don't create that mentality. Well, I'm going to find another way of saying it. Thank you. You should not create that mentality because you'll always stay that way. And you will never enrich it. You'll be a blessing to someone else. You will always be depending on someone to help you and that God uses someone to help you. Now, if someone were to come, someone says, brother, you know what? God told me to sow that car in your life. Well, let yourself be cared for. Receive it. But it was because you already have a car and someone gives you a car as well. The poor mentality and the people that don't understand. And why does he have so many cars? What do you care? It wasn't you you didn't give that car to him. God told that person to sow that car into that other person's life. And then they say, why didn't he sow it to so-and-so? I don't know. For starters, here's another issue. There are many things. because God didn't tell him. Oh, I'll give you an example. Again, this has been over years. The grace of God, God has been good with us. And we have helped people. But you know someone that I won't help. Because it would be violating principles of administration in the Bible. I cannot help a person or people or a family or whoever, matrimony, that I see that they're in financial need. And they continue spending their money correctly. The Bible speaks of being stewards. So, do you know what I would be doing? I would be throwing away that money that God gave me. That I see, not saying that they shared it with me or someone told me. No, something that I'm constantly seeing, I can't do. I can perceive here from the Lord that the Lord is trying to catch their attention. And that I say, hey, you know what? I see this in you. And for me, I wasn't going to help you. But the Lord told me that I have to do it. But knowing the Lord, because you can know him here with the Lord, with the Bible, he's going to say, just this one time and he's never going to tell me again. I cannot help someone that I see that they are not good administrators. Because the Bible speaks of stewards, of being administrators of finances. Yeah, there were people who helped me in the past. But that's what I think they saw. The people saw. My pastor, who is in heaven, another saw that I was a good administrator, that I was believing the Lord. That all helps that the Lord can speak to that person and say, help this other person. How can you explain the church here in Douglas that does not sell tamales? Praise the Lord. Nor do I have to be giving money, giving food so people could come. Now I know some people do it in other countries because the whole church is in need. Talking about that. Talking about when you just give something to attract people. Amen. But I'll head out and it's not the first time where we'll give thousands of dollars in material to someone. That's the need that those people have. General Christians, that's their spiritual experience. Where did that money come from? Someone paid. Have you heard of when people say, hey, it doesn't matter as long as the church, as the government continues giving me. It doesn't matter. The government has money. Again, that's ignorance. They're speaking things that they don't understand. The government does not have money. The government administrates. And there's an administration that, I don't know about you, but that's about to head out, glory to God, that it was the worst administration in the last 50 years, and it's one of the worst, has been the excessive spending, millions and billions of dollars in nonsense. You don't know who it is? No, don't say names. I pray that the word of salvation reaches that president. The word of salvation means the gospel of salvation. That's someone that he can. Someone speak. And this is so good. Are you understanding now? Okay. Keep reading, because I gotta close up. Understood that part, right? In verse 8. We'll see it again later. Verse 9. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, the giver, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. Hey, when you change their life because of the word that you give them, it's not only the material as well, but the word that you give and you change their life, this is what it's referring to. It will endure forever in the spiritual world. Verse 10. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources. God is the one that provides the seed. God. But you have to be in an attitude of faith. It is not you yourself, it's God. He will provide the seed. Yeah, through your work, through a business, through people, but it will be God. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in acts of goodness, kindness, and charity. Charity, love. Charity is what motivates you to give. Notice again, and God who provides seed for the sower and also provides bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing. In other words, when Nubi and I started exercising the laws of sowing and reaping 20 years ago or more, we don't give the same amount to this day than what we did 15 or 20 years ago. Why? Because God has been increasing for us. This is for everyone who understands sowing and reaping. Next verse. Thus 11. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, that you can be generous. Not cheap, generous. And your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. The amount of people who have told me when I've traveled, oh, thank you, Pastor, for all the material that you sent to us. Thank you, because through this series, I understood things that I hadn't understood before. Now, of course, they thank me, but I can assure you, oh, thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, you see? And the verse that follows. For the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, God's people, but it also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God. Right there. Amen. Verse 13. Because at your standing of the test of this ministry, glory to God, I wish I have the Lord, and I know that I have the Holy Spirit in me, but say, Lord, we have been standing in that test in the church. Perhaps invest more help. More. They will glorify God for your loyalty and obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess. We say, God is our source. God has been good with us. But they receive the benefits and they praise God, because they know that it's not us, it's God through us. Do you understand? They will glorify God for your loyalty and obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous-hearted liberality. For your generous-hearted liberality to them as to all the other needed ones. 14. And they yearn for you while they pray for you. There are people who we've helped, blessed so much with the word and financially, that to this day, they wish, they yearn, they live in other countries, they wish to be seated here in these seats with all their heart. And they're praying for us. Why? For what we've sown in them. And they yearn for you while they pray for you, because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, for his favor and mercy and spiritual blessing, which is shown forth in you. Verse 15. Now thanks be to God for his gift, precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible, free gift. Thank you. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. I want you to listen to this. I received it yesterday. Thank you, Pastor Hughes. We are very thankful, Pastor. And the truth is, we are very joyful of your preachings, and we are constantly listening to them. And we are maintaining ourselves firm in learning as you teach it, Pastor, and above all, Pastor, watching you, Pastora Nubia, and your precious children. You are that living testimony, and my wife and I watch you so much, because you in Christ are a reference that bless us a lot, Pastor. And Pastor, we want to walk in that same unity of faith as you, Pastor, and that we can be one in Christ, Pastor. And that we don't go beyond what is written in the Word. As you walk in the Word, you and your wife walk in the Word. And I am joyful for that will in you to teach with that love, with that firm love. We love you a lot, Pastor, and thank you. We are always waiting, pending for those services. Those from Panama. Sister Claudia knows them. We send them all material, School of Faith. And those are kind words. And when I was listening to it yesterday, I said, Father, thank you. What a privilege. What an honor. And there are people who send us emails. That's what the money is used for. That's it. That's what the money is used for. And God has promised that as the gospel is preached with his money, because just it's of what God gives us, we give in the kingdom. End of the day, he takes all the glory. And it is how it says, you give acts of thanksgiving, not to the people, but to God. Now, of course, this is simply a thankfulness out of being educated, because when someone says thank you, you bless someone, that person says thank you, you say you're welcome. Amen. What do you, so Pastor, someone, I gave something to someone and they said, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, brother. I really needed this and I didn't know what to say. What would you have said, brother? I said, like this, you're welcome. No, don't you say that? You're welcome. But it was the Lord, although they give glory to God in their time of praise. I can assure you, when this brother here, Christ, sent me this message yesterday, I can assure you, I give a lot of thanks to the Lord. This is just courtesy, education, manners. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we finished 15? But put it one more time, because I like 15. Look at how beautiful it is. Now thanks be to God for his gift, precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible free gift. You know what that free gift is? From chapter 8 of the grace of giving. Stand on your feet.
Thank you, Lord. You all understand, you're sometimes dead, but find you and you and Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. I'm going to pray. Want that? Amen. This is for the ones that said amen. No, I'm kidding. Lord, we love you and we give thanks. We give thanks for every person, for every family here in the congregation, for our brothers and other and sisters and other our partners of Word of Faith, cities and country, lives. The Word says that by your stripes they have been healed, and in that spirit of faith I speak healing, and I cast out all works of Satan, and the anointing of healing is in their bodies. Thank you for their peace, their homes, in their families, that nothing is missing in their home. The favor of God with them, the grace and the favor and manifestation of their lives according to. They hear the voice of Jesus, not the voice of the. Lord, they hear only your voice through their conscience, through that spirit, the Holy Spirit, through the. They walk in Lord, the mistake that anyone has been, it's under the finished work of Jesus. Someone says, Jesus, receive my forgiveness. Receive it. And between you and God, repent for Jesus, change your way of thinking. Lord, made a mistake. I was walking in the flesh. I didn't do you and the Lord. But from here on out, you can say, from here on out, I decide to listen to you, to look for you, hear your voice, and your word. Close all doors to the devil. Walk on. Lord has something good for you. The only reason we have to repent this way, we close doors to the devil. We change our way of thinking, of speaking, of directing ourselves. Evil. Legal. All sin has been paid for. God has no. But because he is your father and loves you with unconditional love, by his hands, can't bless you. How the devil can. Father who loves you. And if you call doors, repent and change your way of thinking, of talking, of bathing. Change your way of thinking and align it with the Word of God, so that may that the Holy Spirit can manifest with greater freedom. Those who are going to participate. The reason of giving and receiving, your word says that you, by all needs, according to your riches and glory in Jesus, by everything we need, those of us who are going to give, we do it in faith, do it motivated by love, gratefulness, and thankfulness, but we also do it in faith. Activates what we give. It makes that seed that we gave by love, that faith makes that seed grow. We don't do it just because we want to prosper, but first because we love you, the people, our brothers and sisters, our locals, and want to continue the gospel. And we hear more testimonies like this, brother and wife, and the emails, the messages, the phone, and Word of Faith, my phone, Juvia's phone, emails. That you to the hearts of your people, the people in our radios and television. Lord, for the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, that brings that conviction to those who are going to be born again, those and to those who already, they will start renewing their minds. Give thanks. Yeah. Today more than ever, from here on out, there's going to be more attacks towards the local church, to the things of God, more than ever. Centuries ago, that the true believer suffers persecution. The Bible says that he who wants to live in the godly way will suffer persecution. And if nobody criticizes you for your lifestyle, love Jesus, Lord, you're not living a good life in Jesus. The church has always suffered persecution. One of the churches in Philippi, that I remember I told you that I'm going to speak about the seven message to the churches in the Apocalypse, book of Apocalypse. And one of the churches, the pastor of Ephesus, you know what happened, Renee? The same paganism that we have today and that pressure we have, it's multiplied maybe because of technology. But in Ephesus and the Ephesians, they received oppression and attacks. They were made fun of. And some of them got that pressure. And some of those pastors called them out. No, this is nothing new. Probably going to be in a bigger magnitude because of technology. So it's really careful to see exactly what we are listening. Now the youth, they want to be YouTubers and TikTokers, and all they want to do is sitting there, probably getting hemorrhoids or something. That's a lot of thinking. Don't say amen. And some of them, those resources to speak ill the word. But we can't judge all. And even those who are doing wrong.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.